Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. This will be our last shiur of the fifth parak, Ezehu Neshech, starting with our analysis of the line in the Mishnah, Hayahu Tchila LeKotzrim. So even though you're not allowed to set a price until the shahars come out, what if you're the first person to be harvesting? Then we said what you're allowed to do. So now, Amarav, Mechusar Shtayim Posek, Shalosh Eino Posek. So he said, if there's only two jobs left before the item is finished, then you can make it, but three or more you can't. Shmuel Amar Bidei Adam Afilu Mea Posek. Shmuel says, if the things that are in your control, literally in man's hands, even if there's 100 jobs, you can make the deal. Bidei Shamayim Afilu Achat Eino Posek. But if it's something that depends on heaven, like rain or wind or sun, then even if there's one, you can't make the deal, because it's not up to you. So let's test this. Tan posekim ola gadish. Our Mishnah said that you could make a deal on the gadish, on the wheat pile. V'hamachusar mishta b'chama, but you still need to put it out in the sun to dry. L'meibash u'lemeidash, u'lemeidash, first to dry it out and to thresh it, u'midra, and then to winnow it. So the answer, that's four things. So how could on Ravin, does it work? On deshada b'chama v'yavesh. All right, so you already put it out in the sun and it dried. Shmuel, according to Shmuel, it said anything dependent on God, anything out of your control, doesn't work. You still have to winnow it, and then you need the rain, the wind, to be the shemaimu. His answer is, you could use a sifter. So the Mishnah also said you could make the deal on a basket of grapes. So you still have to warm it up and bring them into the wine press and press them and then draw the wine down into the bore. So Rav Chiya ala commercial zeitim. So Rav Chiya, in the context of zeitim, said we're talking about a basket that's already finished, that's already been dried out or been out in the sun. I mean, Hachanami ala commercial anavim. So it's talking about komer already. V'hamachusrei tlat. So there's three things missing. The answer is ba'atu dahu dezavin hu denagid, where the local custom is whoever buys the wine draws it into the bore, so the seller only has two things left. Ve'alamatan shel zeitim, you're allowed to make a deal on a basket of olives. Amachusar michmar vayule ve'dape the meidash le'migad, same thing with pressing the olives. Rechia al komer shel zeitim, that's what Rechia said, we're talking about a komer shel zeitim. So it's already partway done. Aika thought there's three left. And again, we're talking about a place where the custom is that whichever person buys it is the one who draws the oil down into the akal. The beitzim shel yotzer are like little pieces of clay that are going to be then fired up as bowls or whatever. So my v'hamachus lefufe v'yibusha yule latuna lemisraf lemepak. These things still have to be formed and still have to be dried out and then put into the oven and taken out. The answer is going to lemafav v'yibushi. So maybe they're already formed and dried out. V'ha'ika plat. There's still three things to do. Again, maybe it's the place where the customers, whoever buys them, takes them out of the oven, out of the kiln. We said plaster once it's in the building, in the oven. You still have to heat it and take it out and then sift through it. The answer is the place where the local custom is, where the fellow who buys it is the one who then sifts through it to get the good stuff, and therefore you're only missing two. L'shmuel damar b'dei adama filu mea posek, but Shmuel said no matter how many things there are, if it's all in your control, then even 100 you could do. L'amalim b'shik shakana b'shik kibshan, why does it have to already be in the oven? Eimam b'shir o'il shakol b'kibshan, so not when it's already in the kiln, but rather when it could go in the kiln. Alright, so said well, b'tzim shel yotzer, we'll go back to that. Tanar banan. And poskim ala b'tzim shel yotzer ad she'yasu, you have to first make the clay into shape. That's when you're talking about a white kind of dirt or clay. Regular dark clay. Certain places had a lot of this clay. Poskin. Somebody has it. It's like we said earlier with fruit. A member would pay the money as soon as they brought in the dirt. Come on, so who's that like? Ikra Meir Amar Chiasur. Meir said you have to actually make it. Ikra Beyose Marfal Pisha Ein Lozer Ish Lozer. Beyose said even if they don't have it yet, because somebody else has it. The answer is Leon Kerbiosi. He's being lenient like Kerbiosi. Uvatre Da Memer Ashik Afra. In Memer's place, dirt was actually, that kind of dirt or clay, was rare, and therefore he had to wait till they actually saw it. If you saw them bringing in the dirt, then you know that you're going to get your, or the clay, you know you're going to get your clay item soon, and he'd pay for it. If not, then you couldn't rely on it, then it becomes a halva, and then we go into our whole problem. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that you could make a deal to buy zevel, to buy dung, any time of the year. Chacham and Tana comes, Chacham said all year also. Amarava, Yimotak Shemim Mikimai, they disagree about what to do during the winter, whether or not that's also a season for that. Chacham say no, Tanakama says all year. Posekim o Kishar Gavoa, and then we said you could make a deal for Kishar Gavoa, which means actually the cheaper price, so you get more for your dollar. Alright, Ha'u Gavar, the Eye of Zuze Lenadunya de Vechamu, interesting story. A fellow gave money as part he was going to marry, and he gave money to his father-in-law as a dowry. And the father-in-law then had him buy jewelry for the girl. Sof zal nedunya. And then the price went down. Atul came in our papa. They came in our papa, and the fellow wanted to back out. Amarle paskati mo kashar gavoa. If you said kashar gavoa, shakul kadahashta. Then you can buy it as per the low current price. Vilo shakul kimikar. If not, then you have to pay the higher price that you originally agreed on. I'm with our bono papa. So the student said to him, vilo pasuk shakul kimikar. If he didn't make a deal, he has to pay like the earlier price. Maut ninu, all it is money. Maut lokanu, if we saw in the fourth parak, maut themselves are not kone. So when he gave the money, there's been no kinyan yet. Why is he locked into that earlier price? You're right. I didn't mean that you have to pay that price. I just mean there's a para if you back out. If you made a deal like shar gavoa, which means that even if the price goes down, you're going to get that better price. Then the seller is the one who's backing out. The mocher is under mishapara. If he didn't make such a deal, it's the buyer who backs out because he doesn't want to pay so much. Then the lokeach has mishapara. Okay. He says, I don't say it. Who says that's authored by the rabbanan who disagreed with Rabb Shimon and say, maot enon konet? But even so, if you agreed on shar gavoa, then he takes per the current price. Alright? If he didn't make that, then you have to say the original price. Maybe it follows Rabbi Shimon. And then it plays out that way. Because when you paid the money, you actually made a kenyan, and therefore it depends what you said at that time. But according to Rabbanan, we're maut enon konot, then it shouldn't matter what deal you made originally. You should be able to take the current lower price, because that's what people have in mind when they pay. So when did Rabbi Shimon say that maut konot? That's when there's one shar. When there's two different sharim, two different rates, then he doesn't say that. If not, then Mishapara Lokeach or Bishimon lately. According to Bishimon, there's never Mishapara on the Lokeach, because Mishapara means you have the legal ability to back out, but not the right. According to him, you'd never have the legal ability to back out as a buyer. If you think that Bishimon says there is no Mishapara on a Lokeach, in the Mishnah we said that indeed that's the halacha, but we have Mishapara, meaning you could back out. So my mikom akom, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that either one technically could back out if there's been no mashicha of the metaltalin, but either one is under mishapara who backs out. Rishimon only said maut konot when there's a one single shar, but not when the rate changes. So why don't we just take the position that after all, the father-in-law made the son-in-law his shaliach, and the father can't back out of it. So Malay Bachtagra Dazavinu Mazmin, then he didn't. He made somebody else the agent to buy it. Either that, or some Rishonim read that the son-in-law was actually himself a tiger, a salesman, and therefore it's not as if he made him a special shaliach for that. Okay, next piece. Now remember, we're not allowed to rent, to borrow seya baseya, one commodity, for the same commodity, because it may go up. However, a person is allowed to lend to their sharecropper, let's say a bushel of wheat for a bushel of wheat, as long as he's going to use it to plant as seed, not for food. Gamliel used to do that with his sharecroppers. B'yoker v'uzali, if there was a higher price and they went down, or b'zol v'ukaru, or at a lower price and they went up, tell me in kashar azol. He would always take it as per the cheaper amount from them, right? V'lom ne'shalacha ken, elashar atzalach me'alatzon. He wanted to be more machron on himself, and therefore not be taking the possibility of any rebate from them, even though it wouldn't be. Tani Rabbanan, Malveh Adam Atari Sal Chitim Chitim Lazerav Medvar Memorim Shalo Yarad. That's only if the Aris didn't yet start on the field. But Yarad Asur, once he went down, you're not allowed to, right? My Shnatana did not allow come off the Ben Yarad of Enlo Yarad. Why doesn't Artana make that distinction? My Shnatana brought the come off the Ben Yarad of Enlo Yarad, but in the Brighta he does. So Amarava Rabbi Idi Aspra Neali. So Idi explained it to me. But Atra the Tani Dan Arisa Yai Bizra. Where Artana lived, the custom was for the sharecropper himself to provide the seed. So Ben Yarad, Ben Yarad, come to Liyai Bezer, Matsimisalikle. Whether or not he's gone down to the field until he actually puts the seed in, then the owner can make him go. Chikarnachi, Levatsir, Mehachi, Karnachi. Right? And when he comes down, when he eventually comes down, he's coming down for that less. Pachatana Baram, Mare Da'ara Yai Bezer. But in the Breitas composer's area, the local custom was that the owner of the field gives the seed. If the Aris hasn't gone down to the field yet, the owner can make him leave. So he's going down based on that. But if he has already gone down, and therefore the owner cannot make him leave, then it really is a halva. And therefore, it's asur. Tanarbanan, Omer Adam L'chaveiro, Halveini Kor Chitim V'Kotzei Tzlo Damim. You could say, lend me a kor and set an amount of it. If they go down, you can give them back the wheat. If they went up, you could just give them that amount of money that was originally set. Valo katsats. What do you mean, kotsets lo damim? You already set the amount. If you didn't set a set amount, then if it goes down, you give them the wheat. If it goes up, you give them that value as of per then. If you did kotzeitz, then you always just give them that value. Okay, lomad adam l'chaver alveni kor chitin v'aniten l'chal agorin. You can't say, lend me some chitin and I'll give it back to you at the gorin time, because of course it goes up in the meantime. Merlo alveni ad she'avo bni o ad she'emtza maftech. We saw this a few times in the perek. You could say, lend it to me until my son comes or until I get the key, meaning I have my own chitin. I'm borrowing it because I just can't get into the house where they are. That you could say. And there's no rebid problem there. Hillel Oser, Hillel says it's not okay. Chena Hillomer lo telve isha ki kar lechaverta ajta se adamim. Hillel said that a woman should not lend a loaf to her friend until she actually makes a value on it. Shemi kruchitin, because maybe the wheat will go up and him suba otli de rebid, and they'll end up with rebid. Okay, Amar Rav Huna. Yesh to seya lo veseya, satayim lo vesatayim. So Rav Huna says, when are you allowed to borrow that a certain amount when you already have it? That's only per the amount you have. If you have a seah, you can borrow a seah, etc. It's like Omer Filu Yeshlo Seah Lovela Kamachurin. He says no. If you have some wheat, you can borrow a lot of wheat. Of course, 30 seah. Tan Rabbi Chia L'Siyul Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Chia, who opposed supported Rabbi Yitzchak's position. That we say you can't borrow wine when you have no wine at all, not even a drop. But if you do, you could borrow lots of drops of wine or oil. Okay, hello, sir. We pass like Hillel. Actually, we don't rule like Hillel, and we do allow the Achi of Obani. Which means you can borrow and pay back stam. Can I have some sugar? Yeah, I'll give back some sugar without measuring it out. If you have a group of people who are makpid with each other and they're eating together on Shabbat and they're divvying things up, it's Mishnah, the 23rd parak of Shabbat. You're not allowed to do measuring on Shabbat, so whether it's linear measures or weight measures or counting measures, and the problem is they're lending and paying on Yom Tov. For Hillel, Mishum Rebit. According to Hillel, any day of the week, there's Rebit there. But of course, if they're not Makpid, it's like, you take some of this, I'll take some of that, like we generally do in our social environment, it's not a problem of Rebit at all, it's not a problem of Shabbat either. Wild statement. Tamin Chachom can lend each other a Rebit. My Tama. Meida Yadi de Rebit Asura. They know that Rebit's Asur. They're really giving each other a present. Shmuel Avua Bar Ihi. So Shmuel said to this Avua, Aveni say mea pilpulin, but mea vesin pilpulin. Lend me 100 peppers, I'll give you 120 back. V'arich, and it's okay. Meaning that's the same. Came and said talking about it. He understands it's a gift. It's okay to lend your kids for rebeat, so they should know what rebeat feels like. And they'll understand. But it's not a good idea in the end, because they may end up actually violating it. Okay, next Mishnah. You could say to a guy, come weed with me, and then I'll go weed with you, or plow with me, or hoe with me, and I'll hoe with you, whatever it is, the same work. In other words, that's not a rebeat problem. But you can't do one work for another, or vice versa. And by the way, this doesn't mean that you can't do it some, it just means do it as a real deal. Now, all of the days of the summer are one thing. So it doesn't matter one day is longer than another, that's not called a rebeat. But kol yimei reviyah achat, and all the rainy seasons, one thing. But you can't say, come plow with me during the summer, and I'll come plow with you in the winter, in the rainy season, because there the days really are different. Not just in length, but also in working outside. There's such a thing as pre-rebeat and post-rebeat. Ketzad. Now, Tanya, now, Vilvote Menu, a guy wants to borrow from somebody, and so he sends a gift. And he says, I'm sending this gift so you'll want to lend me money. So, Rebeat Mukdemet, that's pre-rebeat. That's awesome. So, let's say you just borrowed and had a gemach, a proper loan, and you returned the money. And if you want to send him a tip, this is for the money that was sitting with me and you couldn't get to use. So, Rebeat Mukdemet, that's post-rebeat. It's even a rebeat with words. You have some inside information that the lender wants to know. You can't tell him about that because that's after he lent you money or while he's lent you money. Because that is verbal rebeat. The following violate the lotase. Hamalve v'halove v'arevai edin. We saw this already. The borrower, the lender, the borrower, the cosigner, and the edim. Chumam yafas sofer. Chumam add even the sofer is complicit. Ovrim yishum lo titein. Shumati kach mito. We see the psukim on the page. Shum lo tielo kenoshem. Shum lo tzimun alav neshach. Shum lifnei v'elo titein michshol. Because you're also misleading others into sinning. Yerit be'lerach on the other night. How do you know that if you're coming after somebody for money that he owes you, and the borrower isn't used to saying shalom to you? Here, he's not allowed to say shalom. In other words, if he normally says hi, he can say hi. But if he never greets you, and now he greets you because he's borrowed money from you, any davar afilu dibur asur, even words that are like rebeat, meaning saying hi or greeting somebody who's the lender, if it's somebody you don't normally say hi to. If you do, then it's fine. So Abai says in the Mishnah, the lender, of course, violates all of these things. He's complicit in causing the other guy, enabling the other guy. And the words that says tashich, which is to give the rebate. And the cosigner and the witnesses are involved with just helping to make neshech happen. Here we have Agadah. Rav Shimon says they lose more than they gain. There's a euphemism. They treat Moshe and his Torah as if it's foolish. If Moshe knew how much you could make lending money, he never would have written an Isser of Ribi. That's what these people say. Kiato of Dimi Amar. So Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael and said, how do we know that if a guy is dunning somebody for money, and he knows the borrower doesn't have the money, you're not allowed to even pass in front of him. You're not like a noshe, similar to noshe, kind of hanging around him. Remember Rasi, they said, it's kind of like you're putting him through two harsh judgments. You've put a man over us, that's the lender. We've gone through fire and water. That's what it's like. Let's say a guy has money and he lends them without edim. Why is it lifnei? Because the other guy's going to be tempted to not pay back and say, you don't have witnesses. You're actually bringing a curse on yourself because you're opening up the lying lips, right? Because you're causing this guy to say, oh, I never wrote. So he said, Ravina fulfills everything the Rabbanan said. Shalachle Bahari Panya, so Rav Ashi wanted to test him. So Bahari Panya Malad Shabbat, one time just before Shabbat, he said, Lishtar Lamar Asor Zuzi, please send me 10 zoos. The Dramili Katina da Aralimizban, I have a chance to buy a little piece of land. Shalachle Neti Mar Sahadi, Menichtav Ktava. So Ravina sent back to Rav Ashi, I'll do it, but send witnesses and a sofer. Shalachle Afilu Ananami, even me, Rav Ashi. He's testing him. Shalach lei kol shekinmar. Absolutely, even you will the more so. Tard begirse, you were so busy learning mishtali, it's easy for you to forget. Vigorim kol atzmi, and you're going to cause me to be the source of a curse because I will have lent you money and then you won't pay back. Tamar shel shatzo akin ve'na neni. There's three kinds of people who cry out to God and aren't answered because they've done bad things. Mishi yisto ma'od malveo tan shel beidim. Somebody who lends money without aidim, again causing all this problem. We'll see what that means. Somebody who acquires a master for himself. Or somebody whose wife rules over him. What's that? Three opinions. A guy who wanders his money through a non-Jew so he can lend it beribit, but now he's got this guy over him. Or a guy who writes all his property over to his kids while he's alive, they're controlling him. A guy who's not doing well in one town, and he doesn't go to another town, he stays there, that is a kone adon latzmo. We'll pause this point, we finished the fifth parak, the next podcast will begin with the sixth parak of Bamitzin. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.